In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and it's great to be with you this morning. And as always, we like to start our conversation by turning to Mary. Mary's the Mother of God, Mother Church, and the Mother of each and every one of us. So let's turn to Mary, who is also known as our life, our sweetness, and our hope, and ask her to be with us, but also to pray for us, aware of the power of the prayers of Mary, who is truly the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and she's the Mother of each and every one of us. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, let's turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many titles. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. The Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler. He's our consoler, but he's also our counselor. And St. Paul reminds us that we don't really know how to pray as we ought. We can always improve in our prayer life. But good news is the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a lot of light in our intellect, but also interior fire in our will. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Benedict of Nursia, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, my friends, we welcome you to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and the family that prays together, stays together. We always start off by praying to Mary, to the Holy Spirit. We pray to the angels. We pray to the saints. This is part of our perseverance family. Would be God, of course, is most important. And we have Mary and the angels and the saints. But then, to encourage you, I'll pray for you when I celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass today. There's no greater prayer in the world. There's no greater prayer in the world than the prayer of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is we are worshiping God the Father by presenting God the Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's right. We are worshiping God the Father by offering God the Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to place all of us on the altar today. And my first intention will be that of begging that all of us would be open to the, we'd all be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Docility, openness to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, who is our sanctifier, our sanctification depends a lot upon our openness to the Holy Spirit, docility to the Holy Spirit. My second intention will be, I'd like to pray for your families and your children, that you as parents would assume your responsibility of being the first teachers of your children. In all, but especially in faith and morals, that you will instill in your children a great fear of the Lord, but also a great love for God. And that your children would come to the awareness as soon as possible of the fact that true happiness can only come from a relationship with God. Only God can give us true happiness. As St. Paul, quoting the Greek poet, in Him we live and move and have our being. My third intention will be, I'd like to continue to pray with you for the pro-life movement. I would say both pro-life and pro-family. Two of the biggest attacks in the modern world would be the attack against the unborn child. Once again, we thank God for the fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned. We are eternally grateful to God for His intervention. Mary's prayer is that this was overturned. Praise the Lord. However, the victory is not complete because there are still forces on the state level that are trying militantly to try to promote abortion anywhere. So we have to keep our guards up, have our arms lifted like Moses in battle array, and our arms are that of prayer and penance and trust in God. So let's pray today in a special way for a greater love for God, a greater love for life, a greater willingness to walk the extra mile too, to walk the extra mile for the Lord. So before getting into the saint that we celebrate today, Saint Benedict of Nursia, and the readings we have today, which would be that of Isaiah as well as the Gospel of Saint Matthew, I'd like to just share with you something very beautiful that's happening in the parish over the past couple of Sundays. In Spanish, I'm giving a marriage retreat or treat of couples. And it consists of three Sundays, July 3rd, the 10th, as well as the 17th. And it consists of inviting the couples to the Church of St. Peter Chanel. And I start off at about 12 noon by giving them a talk. Yesterday, I talked about some of the major obstacles in the married life. Some of the major obstacles in the married life. And I wrote an article of 10 major obstacles. I was only able to get through three of them yesterday. One I mentioned was the danger of the transgender agenda in the LGBT as a militant force, which is diametrically opposed to God's will with respect to marriage and family. So I spoke about that. Then after that, we were able to divide into groups, sharing groups. Such a beautiful day. People went out in the lawn. We had a good 200 people there. And they were sharing on this topic. Then after that, we came together as a family. And I exposed the Blessed Sacrament with incense. Then after that, we prayed for the family by praying the Most Holy Rosary and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Then I gave them a solemn blessing. We concluded our mini retreat by the greatest part of the retreat, which was the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And the Gospel was that of the Good Samaritan. And my conclusion was the Good Samaritan is Jesus Christ himself. However, every husband is called to be a Good Samaritan toward his wife. And every wife is called to be a Good Samaritan toward her husband. All of us are called to become Good Samaritans in the highway of life. Then at the end, then at the end of the Mass, I surprised them with good news. And they said, next week will be the last day of our mini-retreat. Will be the last day of our mini-retreat. And they said, given that this is a retreat of couples, it's a retreat because not only do I give the talk and they share, but also what I'm doing is I'm writing out meditations. I'm writing an article on marriage, but also writing out meditations that they can be doing every day. So both the husband and wife, they're doing the meditation, then they come together to share what did God say to them in their meditation. They can do it together. If they want to bring their family together, so much the better. But I told them next week, after the homily and the Mass, that they will all be renewing their vows. They will all be renewing their marital vows. And there was an applause. There was a round of applause, an explosion of joy, because these couples recognize that they are married, they're trying to live a good family life, they're struggling, and this renewal of marriage vows is going to be a strong motivation for them to keep living out that vocation that God has called them to. Told them that they will be exchanging rings. They'll be exchanging rings. And I told them you have a week because you can go to 99 cents and buy a new ring. Or maybe 98 cents, no? I like humor. Fulton Sheen says that in the married life, there are actually three rings. There is the engagement ring, there is the wedding ring, and then there is suffering. None of us can avoid suffering. It's a life filled with joy, but also there are crosses also that we have to carry. But if we carry the cross by ourselves, then that cross is too heavy. We have to learn how to carry the cross with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I invite all of you, if you could pray for the family, pray for marriage, pray for couples, pray for children, because true, the family that prays together stays together. So my friends, today there's an abundance on our spiritual platter that we'd like to nourish ourselves with. Just last week, we finished reading the minor prophet Hosea, and on Saturday, we actually entered into a new book, and we're reading now through the prophet Isaiah, which is the most famous prophetic book in the Old Testament. Last week, We read Isaiah chapter 6, which was the vocation or the calling of Isaiah in the temple, which he had a vision of God, and he said, I am impure with people that are impure. I have impure lips. And the angel came and took the ember and purified his lips. And then Isaiah said, here I am, send me. So we're following up in the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the essence of the reading today, which is taken from Isaiah chapter 1, is this. God says to Isaiah and to the people, he says that you're offering me sacrifices, but I don't want your sacrifices. Because your sacrifices are just external rituals. You're celebrating your liturgical feasts. You're offering your holocausts. But Isaiah said, but your heart is far away from me. Your heart is far away from me. And he says, okay, before you're offering these sacrifices, make sure that justice is your aim. And he says, redress the wronged. And then he says, help out the orphan and the widow. Help out the orphan and the widow. Excuse me. And he says, your hands are full of blood. And I think we can apply that to our country, that even though even though Roe vs. Wade has been overturned, thanks be to God, still much innocent blood has been shed, and we have to offer up sacrifice, prayers of reparation for that. They calculate close to 63 million abortions, surgical abortions, in close to 50 years. So the message from Isaiah is this: let us offer sacrifice. Let us go to church. Let us go to the Mass. Let us participate in the Mass. Let's do all that. That's right. However, let's make sure that our worshiping God with our lips will also be parallel with worshiping God with our lives. How do we know that we're praying well? St. Teresa of Avila says, you can know that we're praying well by living well. If it is such that we're growing in holiness, that's a sign that we are praying well. So Isaiah is saying, yes, pray to God, but make sure that your lives are in harmony with your prayer life, that they should be parallel. We have Psalm 50 is the response, the psalm response to the first reading. And the antiphon is, to the upright I will show the saving power of God. To the upright I will show the saving power of God. Let's pray, my friends, that we live an upright life. And not a double life in which what we say with our lips we're contradicting with our lives. That brings me, my friends, before we visit the gospel today, which our Lord is giving us really good, strong advice, which is very applicable to today. But today, my friends, we celebrate a very, very important saint in the history of the world, in the history of the Catholic Church. So I'd like to spend a little time with you on the saint that we celebrate today. So the saint that we celebrate today, his name is Saint Benedict. You probably heard the word benediction. The benediction we do at the end of a holy hour. So the name Benedict actually means blessing. The end of our conversation, I will give you a blessing. I will give you my priestly blessing. Now you as parents, you can bless your children. And you should. Before they go to bed, make sure that you pray with your children, then you can bless your children. Get holy water. And bless your children as you send them off to bed. Very, very beautiful. Very, very beautiful family. Very, very beautiful family tradition. So Benedict means blessing. So let's talk a little bit about the historical context and the holiness of the life of this man and his contribution. Western society in Europe was influenced by Benedict as well as the order that he founded, which of course would be the Benedictine order. He left a profound impact upon Europe. So he's born around the year 480. And he dies 543. So he lives to be about 63 years of age. Now, it's interesting that Saint Benedict, this may be a surprise to many of you, but it's a very happy surprise. Saint Benedict was a twin. Saint Benedict actually had, he had a twin sister. And not only did Saint Benedict have a twin sister, but his twin sister is also a saint. Her name is Saint Scholastica. So Benedict and Scholastica were twins. And two, they became two great saints. Scholastica, whose feast day we celebrate in February. So the fact that Saint Benedict and his sister are canonized saints, this obviously points to the fact that that didn't happen by chance. Obviously, both of them had, they would have had good parents. They would have good parents. As the saying goes, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Tell me with whom you associate, I'll tell you who you are. There are many good proverbs that exemplify, illustrate this point, that good parents will form good children. So, he was born and raised in central Italy, not too far from the city of Rome. His parents were, was a noble family, prestigious family, a family that had economic means. So they decided, the parents decided that it was best for Saint Benedict to further his education by going to the city of Rome. Now Rome in the early 500s, the turn of the century, it was a mixed group of people. There were immigrants, there were philosophers, there was Christianity, there were lukewarm Christians, there were fervent Christians. There's a lot of different schools of teaching. In other words, it was a mixed bag. You might even see it as like Los Angeles or New York City, where there's a lot of good things, but also there's a lot of things that are not so good. But Benedict was appalled at basically the immorality there, the impurity there. So he did not want to be tarnished by the immorality of the Roman life. So he purposely decided to abandon his formal studies there in Rome, to flee from Rome. And he traveled south of Rome to a place called Subiaco. And what he did was he spent a few years in a cave. And he was able to find a hermit that was able to give him spiritual direction. His hair grew long. He became dark. And actually once when they saw him, someone thought that he was an animal because his hair was so long. He grew dark and they mistaked him for an animal. He didn't take showers or baths. But irrespective of that one incident, he was growing in holiness. And his holiness attracted people. So there were monks, religious, that were living in the area, and they're very impressed by Benedict, and they asked Benedict if he would be their superior. That he would be their superior, he would be their guide. Somewhat reluctantly, Benedict gave in to their requests, but reluctantly. And you'll see the reason why. Because Saint Benedict was not going to put up with a leisurely, nonchalant, lazy lifestyle. Quite the contrary. Benedict was going to insist that they pray long hours, that they practice penance, they practice mortification, they practice fasting, they observed times of silence, and these monks didn't know what they were up for when they asked Saint Benedict to be their superior, so they didn't like this at all. So they ended up by trying to kill him. So they gave him some wine and they put poison in the wine with the intention of poisoning him and killing him. Now in the life of Saint Benedict also you have many, many miracles that are attributed to Saint Benedict. Many miracles. So before drinking that potion, Benedict blesses it and the glass container that had the wine, it shattered into many pieces. So already we see Benedict and his holiness, but also his ability to carry out miracles. So Benedict is going to leave Subiaco. He's going to be leaving those men that didn't want him to be their superior. And he ends up in a place which is called Monte Cassino. Monte Cassino. Now, while there, he establishes monasteries. And he has followers, but authentic followers that really want to follow. They really want to follow him. Authentically to follow him. And Benedict is very severe with himself. The typical day of Benedict, and then we'll talk about what is called the rule of Saint Benedict, would be this. But I'd like to mention one other episode in his life which is pretty strong. Like Saint Francis and like other saints, Saint Benedict had a lot of temptations. And one of his temptations was the temptation against the virtue of chastity. And just to show you the power of the image, when Saint Benedict was in Rome, he was exposed to a woman that was improperly dressed, and that engraved an image in his mind. That years later, that image came to haunt him, and he was tempted very severely. Now what Benedict did was he actually threw himself into a thorn bush with very sharp thorns, and he rolled around in the thorn bush. And he is filled with these cuts all over his body. And Benedict was able to conquer. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you're tempted against chastity, you find a patch of thorn bushes and you throw yourself in those thorn bushes. I'm not suggesting that. You'd have to get permission from your spiritual director to do that. However, what we see in Benedict is using prayer but also strong medicine to overcome temptation. Overcome temptation. Saint Anthony of the Desert, Saint Benedict is going to become the father of Western monasticism. And Saint Anthony of the Desert, he's going to become the father of Eastern monasticism. St. Anthony's going to be spending long hours and days in the desert. He himself had a temptation that lasted a year, St. Anthony of the Desert, against chastity, like St. Benedict. He was able to overcome it. He's able to overcome it by prayer and fasting. But he had terrible temptations, and that lasted a whole year. After the year had transpired and the temptation subsided, Anthony said, "Lord, where were you?" And the Lord said, "I was in the very center of your heart," because he did not give in to that temptation. So, my friends, in our spiritual life, we will encounter struggles. But we have to rely upon God and our own effort. First God, then our own effort. So, a typical day in the life of Saint Benedict would be he gets up about 2 o'clock in the morning. And he spends long hours in prayer and reading and meditating upon, especially the Psalms. And this is the foundation for monastic prayer, in which they'd be praying, the monks would be praying several times during the course of the day. Benedict would usually fast until the afternoon. Now, Benedict also, after spending long hours in prayer, he basically, once he became the abbot, the superior of the other monks, Benedict would spend hours working, and he'd be working, doing manual labor. That's right, by doing manual labor, working in the fields, digging in the fields, planting vineyards, planting crops, hoeing the ground, hard manual labor. And he insisted that hard manual labor was very good for the body as well as for the soul. And as a result of that, if I were to ask you, if you know the basics of Benedictine spirituality, I'd ask you, what is the basic motto? What would be the basic motto of Saint Benedict and the rule of Saint Benedict? And it is in Latin. It would be ora, ora illabora. Now, what does that mean, ora illabora? Ora illabora, ora orar in Spanish. Ora illabora would be to pray and to work. That would not be a bad motto for us, to dedicate our lives to prayer and to work. So Saint Benedict starts off his day by praying long hours. I start off my day usually by doing about an hour and a half of prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Then I go with the other priests and we pray the liturgy, the hours. We pray morning prayer and then the office of readings. We pray the Angelus and we pray for you. We pray for prayer of consecration of Mary for you people. So I usually start off my day with these 2 solid hours of prayer. Then after that, work. Well, my friends, I think we have to have that order. First prayer, then work. Do you remember when Jesus went to visit Bethany? And he went to visit the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Do you remember that? It's in Luke chapter 10. The same chapter as the parable of the Good Samaritan that we read yesterday. Do you remember that? Well, Jesus is there with Mary and Martha is running around, and she sees Mary sitting in front of Jesus, and she tells Jesus to tell Mary to help her out. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, Martha. Martha, 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 Martha. You're worried about many things. Mary has chosen the best part and she won't be deprived of it. So what Jesus is saying is basically it's the motto of Saint Benedict. Is that we have to work. But if we just work and that's it, that's going to be called, we become a workaholic. We fall into activism. John Paul calls it horizontalism. Leo XIII called it Americanism. We don't want to fall into that rut, but rather we want to make sure that we always put God first. The gospel yesterday starts off with a man saying, Lord, how can I inherit heaven? Jesus says, what does the Bible say? Well, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, then to love your neighbor as yourself. So the rule of Saint Benedict, the motto of Saint Benedict is ora illabora. Pray and then work. Then Saint Benedict would spend time in consultation where his brothers would come to consult him, to talk to him about things that were on their mind, about spiritual matters, and Benedict would give them proper spiritual direction. That's right. Benedict would give them good, proper spiritual direction. Then, Benedict would spend time with more prayer and more work. I mean, also the importance of reading. Good reading is very important. So Saint Benedict, he goes on to form the Benedictine order, and one of the key elements of Saint Benedict is that he wrote what is called the rule, the monastic rule. The monastic rule, which served as the basic foundation of the rule for all religious over the past 1500 years. That's the foundation. And the rule is known especially for its balance, its moderation, and even its common sense. Balance, moderation, and its common sense. What would be some of the most salient parts of the rule of Saint Benedict? Well, as we mentioned earlier, the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer in having set times to pray every day. Almost as if the rule of Saint Benedict is a precursor of the liturgy of the hours. We as priests and religious, we pray the liturgy of the hours, and there are five different times every day. Morning prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, and the office of readings that we can do any time during the day. Then also the importance of silence. In the monastic religious life, there must be silence. Because in silence, we can hear God's voice and we can communicate with God Himself. Once again, I repeat the importance of work. Physical work is good, but also intellectual work is very important. The Benedictines are known for the copying of manuscripts. And thanks be to them, we have the promotion of culture, of education, of Christian spirituality in Europe is attributed to the work that Saint Benedict did in the founding of the Benedictines as well as the rule. Another salient point of the rule of Saint Benedict is the importance of the superior. In Benedictine spiritual, he's called the abbot. The superior abbot is supposed to be, in a certain sense, the spiritual father of those who are entrusted to him. The spiritual father of those entrusted to him. And as a result of this, Saint Benedict got many vocations. Another important aspect of the rule of Saint Benedict is practice of hospitality, when there would be visitors or guests, the Benedictine spirituality is impregnated with great kindness, affability, spirit of service toward the guests that would come to visit their monastery, seeing in the guest our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself. Now, I'd like to recount to you one last incident in the life. And here I have a cross, and you can see the circular part of this cross above is the medal of Saint Benedict. Okay, you can see it there, the medal of Saint Benedict. The medal of Saint Benedict is known also for its power over the devil, the evil spirits. So much so that when a priest is going to carry out an exorcism, then the priest invokes Jesus and Mary and Saint Joseph and Saint Michael the Archangel, but also invokes Saint Benedict. So he's known as his power over the evil spirit. It's not a bad idea if you could get a big medal of Saint Benedict and put it over your door, the entrance to your house, to ward off the bad spirits. That's a good practice. You might even think about that. Having a big medal of Saint Benedict above the entrance to your home as a means by which keeping the bad spirits from your home. Okay, I'd like to tell you now one of the most charming incidents in the life of Saint Benedict. Okay, I mentioned earlier that Saint Benedict had a sister that's a saint. And the name of the sister I mentioned, her name is Scholastica, whose feast day we celebrate in February. February 10th is the feast day of Saint Scholastica. Now, Saint Scholastica was instrumental in founding, with Saint Benedict, the women's branch of the Benedictines. So you got the men, and they have the women. And the Benedictine women were pure contemplatives. They would live in their monastery, and they would live there always, and they wouldn't leave it. However, there's one stipulation. While Benedict lived, he would go to the monastery of his sister as well as the other women religious, and they would spend one day with the women religious in which they would be praying together and they would have spiritual conversation together. So the day arrived and Saint Benedict headed over to the monastery of his sister with some of his other monks. He was warmly received. So he, his sister, the other nuns, and the brothers, they prayed. And they entered into a lively conversation on the spiritual life. And the time seemed to fly. So, as the sun was going down, Benedict got up and told his sister that he had to go back to his cell with his brothers. So Saint Scholastica says, please stay with us stay with us and engage in conversation with us. Benny said, how dare you, sister, to keep me away from my monastery, not to be faithful to the rule. So Scholastica, she bent over and she prayed that God would hear her request. All of a sudden, you could hear in the sky thunder and lightning, and it started to rain cats and dogs. It rained and rained and rained and rained, and Benedict said to his sister, shame on you, sister, for doing this. And Scholastica said, well, if you're not going to hear me, I'd make sure that God would hear my request. So Benedict spent the whole night with his sister and the nuns talking about heavenly things. Then when Benedict went back to his monastery, he opened up the window and he saw this beautiful white bird that was soaring in the sky toward heaven. That beautiful white bird, my friends, was the soul of the sister of Saint Benedict, that was Saint Scholastica. So that was the last meeting that Saint Benedict had with his sister until they would eventually meet in heaven one day. So my friends, we've had a lively conversation today talking about the Word of God, but also talking about a great saint. A great saint, and the name of the saint is Saint Benedict of Nursia, the patron saint of Europe. So as I mentioned, I will end by giving you his name. Benedict means blessing. I will end up by giving you a blessing. And not only will I end up by giving you a blessing, but I'll give you a blessing with the medal and the cross of Saint Benedict. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Benedict, pray for us.